Oh, Abian, I went, I don't know, quiet for a very long time. Twitter, please, for the Twitter users and the savage repliers. I'm sorry,
oh you my guys. God. Nigerians are angry at you, boy. You don't want to try.
We ladies make things complicated.
Oh, why do we do that? Like me.
Welcome to another episode of Girls on the Block,
the undiluted podcast.
That's with AB and Sarah.
So it's been a minute, but we're happy to be back here.
A minute or a month.
Let's ignore that. But yeah, how have you guys been? Sarah, how have you been? What have you been up to?
What's the facing the tag name murder department of UNILAG?
Why? What happened?
Why are you acting like as if you don't know the news?
Maybe you may want to share the story.
Is it like
so our listeners can hear?
You don't know the story.
Yeah, but how did you come to that? Like, I don't get it. Why?
The story about Chidimma killing.
I know, but like, how does it relate?
Just be, to yes, now they will tag everybody just because she.
So that means you guys go through a process where lecturers come in every morning, and then you have to have like 30-minute speech about how you should not be.
There's always a TED talk from lecturers, and they will say you people should be careful. And there was one particular lecturer that said that, I know after discussing these things, I know some of you that will still go and meet your boyfriends on the island after the class.
So, yesterday, I was scrolling through my phone on the internet, and there was this video I saw, a video that surfaced about a woman giving her comments about her, how if the whole thing had not come to limelight, she'll probably be one of those girls that will say, okay, I'm 21 and I'm getting it, or like 21 and I just bought my first house and all of that. I don't know how I feel about
in
it.
In a way, she's right.
Yeah, she's right, but like, there are women that are really legit making money. They are doing
things. They are, but...
Because like how she... It was too generalized. Sort of.
Okay, probably that's like, where you're having
exactly.
But then she's right.
But yeah, this past week has been quite a lot. Lagos, Lagos itself.
We're going to drop the topic of talking about Lagos and insecurities in Lagos.
Yeah, we should drop it
and just focus on. Anyways,
are you currently watching any movie, reading any book? What's your?
I'm not reading any book now, but I'm watching one movie. It's a K-drama. Uncontrollably fond of you.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, AB conducted a survey. We conducted a survey last week.
But before we get to that, how about we introduce our guest?
Nobody knows that we have a guest.
Nobody knows we have a guest. So, you guys, this is our first guest on our podcast.
Yes.
So with me I have Ademola Aderibube. He's the pastor of Edify Center.
Yes.
A church based in Lagos. So people will probably be like, why are we inviting a pastor? Trust me, I'll say he's balanced because I've heard him speak and
there's no sentiment to everything.
Exactly. So we brought him on this show because he has a conference. We have a quarterly conference, Tag Single Summit, where we talk about the nitty-gritty, the issues as it affects singles, and perspective from God's word. So, can you please go ahead and introduce yourself? Say hello to our listeners.
Okay. Hello, everyone. I'll say it's a privilege to actually be here in the company of these two wonderful ladies.
Whoosh.
You know, they are great, great, and always fun to be with. I've had the privilege to listen to their podcast, and you know, they really got some great content and all that. So it's actually nice being here. Like I said, my name is Ademola Aderibigbe. I'm pastor of Edify Center, ministry based here in Lagos, and been doing over the years quite a lot with regards to helping people live a better life and better relationships and all that. So I'm glad to be here. So thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for gracing our invite. We're so excited to have you here.
Yeah.
Trust me, you guys don't want to miss this particular episode.
Yes.
We're going to be talking about submission, but the topic is submission
overrated?
Overrated.
Overrated. So and from the survey last week.
Yeah.
I envisaged, because I think, okay, let's say, like, AB did the survey, and then I envisaged the results. In my head, I was like, okay, Gen Z's and millennials will be like, submission is overrated. Because
mm-hmm.
whenever we're having this discussion, anybody I just mentioned submission to, they'll be like, no, there's nothing like submission. So we'll not be slaves under that person. Mm-hmm. Do you get?
Mm-hmm.
So then when I saw the results of the survey and I saw another thing, my hands were like down.
Mm-hmm.
My hands were, because I was ready ginger to come and talk this.
Mm-hmm. Honestly.
Then I saw another thing. I was like, oh, they are even cooperating that. Submission is not overrated.
I actually was also very surprised, because like we had about 5 questions up, which I'm like going to run through briefly. So one of the questions we asked was, is submission overrated or underrated? So we had about 41.67% of people say it is submission is overrated. And then 33.33% said it is underrated. And then the other percentage, they were indecisive.
Okay.
We went ahead to ask, would you consider submission in marriage or relationship an archaic or outdated expression? You may want to read out the response.
Then we have 15.38% saying yes, it is archaic, and then no. 61.54% people saying no.
It's not archaic.
Then 23.08% saying that it is they are just indecisive, they don't know where to stand. Then the other question is, do you agree to the statement the husband is the head of the family and the wife should submit to her husband? And then 15.38% says that absolutely not. The people that said no, 7.69%, and people that said yes, 61.54%. Imagine. Then people that said maybe, those ones I'm not even sure. I don't know where you stand. 15.38%. Wow. That's just wow.
As well. So I was actually surprised. But what do you think about
this last one?
Yes, about the people okay. that agreed that men should be the head of.
Because when we're having this discussion face to face, I know ladies that will be like, no, nobody can be the head.
What do you think about this survey response?
Yeah, well, I'll say it's surprising.
It's very surprising. And,
it's surprising, contrary to the perception that one has based on what is going on out there,
yeah.
you know, today and all the things that you hear people talking about. Well, let's just say maybe this proves to us that social media is not actually all there is to life.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
There's really more, you know, to reality, to life. In reality than just what you have on social media. And you know, I always advise people, it's not everything you see on social media that is. You have to balance what you see out there on social media, the content that you're receiving, with, you know, the realities of life. What are people really saying on ground is very important. So it's not everything that is about online. So people try really feel as though everything about their life is online. I'm sure if they build a bathroom online, so people will go there and be having their bath these days.
Yes,
I agree. I've thought of it.
Online betting.
Online betting. That would be interesting.
Yeah. I agree to that. But like, what's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word submission?
Okay.
Based on your own knowledge, experience, understanding.
Okay. First of all, there are a lot of concepts in life that gets refined over time. And one of those things is submission. Now, I think why this happens over time is because depending on people's experiences, interactions, and everything, human beings will want to try to find a way to refine and rearrange and reorganize everything in a way that they feel is going to best suit them,
mm-hmm.
or it's going to best suit the people around them. But I believe strongly in something, that this life that we live in is actually governed by principles. And since it's governed by principles, there's a way this life is actually meant to work. And everything that we do that is contrary to those principles is actually going to disorganize the way things are meant to be. And that disorganization is actually the effect of what we're actually seeing play out everywhere today. Because the moment you keep on trying to readjust what shouldn't be readjusted, we're going to end up finding ourselves in a lot of mess.
Mm, that's true.
You know, and so in the marriage, because when we're talking about submission here, I believe we're talking about within the context of marriage. So
we're actually just getting to that.
We should just. So we should just put it, you know, because when you say submission,
a lot of people submit in
relationship. Exactly.
So if you just say, okay, what is submission? Submission is what it is. It just means to submit. It means to. I believe that in life, in every aspect, or in every aspect of life,
mm-hmm.
we submit to one thing or the other.
Mm.
All right.
Yeah.
We submit to one thing or the other. A child submits to the parents' authority. Because when we are talking about submission, then you have to talk about authority also. Authority means is a governing body that is overseeing the maintenance of rules and order to ensure that a particular system runs the way it's meant to run.
Mm-hmm.
That's what just authority is. So everybody under that authority has to submit so that everything can run the way it's meant to run.
Yes.
Now, submission has nothing to do with whether you are the strongest or whether you are the weakest.
Because that's where the friction comes from. So now you tell me I have an authority.
See, then I have to submit to this authority.
I have to submit to
because
that authority.
I'm weak.
Does it mean somebody that is strong? Authority dominates me?
Exactly. That's... Now he's trying to
exactly,
yeah. So, authority, the submission to authority has nothing to do with weakness or strength, it has more to do with order and balance.
Let me listen.
So, it has more to do with order and balance,
mm-hmm.
not with weakness or strength. So, people interpret it from the angle of weakness and
strength.
Because, so to speak, the one at the position of authority most times happens to be the stronger one.
Exactly.
All right? And because it's the stronger one, he oppresses the weaker one. Now, oppression and oppression based on a position of authority comes from a depraved mindset.
Hmm.
Somebody whose mind is actually balanced cannot oppress the one who is submitting, because submission is out of someone's will.
Okay.
The person can decide not to submit.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody willingly submits to you, there is no reason why you should oppress the person. Because the person is freely giving to you what belongs to him or what belongs to her.
So what if I decide not to give to you? What's your request?
Then, like I said earlier, life is governed by principles. One of the principles in life is actually authority and submission. And I said authority actually helps the world to run, or it helps certain entities or institutions run the way it's meant to run.
Okay.
So without authority and submission, it cannot run.
It can't run. That's true. I think you're just being defensive.
So it can't run. It's an impossible thing. So it's like, if you want to be part of that institution, just like, for example, you say you're employed in a place of work and you can't be submitted to your boss.
I think,
and it's true.
I will submit to my boss because
you submit,
I know
but
I
you
have
don't want
something
to submit
to
in your relationship, in your marriage.
Like if I do not submit
okay, you
to
have
my boss,
to gain.
Or I do not learn from my boss, or submit in quotes, like my job is at stake.
Exactly.
Okay, and
so
my salary is at stake.
Then let's take
my source
to,
of livelihood is at stake.
Let's take it to
now,
marriage.
Let's take it to marriage.
So nothing
marriage,
is at stake.
A lot of people in our generation, and me, I think I find myself there as well. I see it as, I don't know, compromise. I see it as partnership.
Partnership.
You know, I have a problem when it comes to
like somebody.
That's how I used to see it.
That means you're being defensive.
If you don't have a problem with being under the authority, because if once you come under anybody, that's under any umbrella, any institution, you are coming under the
authority.
If you are in a higher institution, you are under the
authority
of that school.
Exactly.
If the school says all students must be in their hostels by 10 p.m., you have to get into your hostel
by
10 p.m.
So
if they say anybody who is found involved in examination or practice is going to be expelled, you will be expelled. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So authority and submission exist in
every sphere of life.
So it is not a big deal. It's just that that's one of the things that Okay, so if I want to go a bit spiritual, it's mm-hmm. one of the devil's ploy to actually destabilize the marriage union or the marriage system or the family system by giving people a wrong impression of what authority and submission is with respect to marriage. Forgetting that in every other area of life,
there are submission to something.
Exactly. That's what I want to say now.
Right now.
Because that's what I want to say now.
Why do I have to be the one to submit?
Why is he not the one submitting?
You accepted that you are submitting to your boss.
Yes.
But now you don't want to submit to somebody that you spend the rest of your life with. Why is it that area, that marriage area?
It should be me, you come together, partnership. Submit to me, I submit to you. Love me, I love you.
Anyway, the thing is that if that's the idea you have about marriage, then you're just operating in what I would call maybe Disneyland or Utopia.
Why would you say
and
that?
You have to come to reality. Okay. Because like I said, I gave a background, life functions by principles.
Okay.
I've given a clear definition of what authority is. Authority is meant for control, is meant for order. It's meant for to sustain and maintain orderliness in a system. So it means without the presence of authority, the system, everybody will act the way they like. And any system where everybody acts the way they like is a system that will be disorganized. It will lead to chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So in every system, there is headship, there is authority figure that maintains law and order. So where there is no law and order, there's no system that can hold together. There's nothing that can work. So we need to get that straight. Let's get that understanding first in our head. If everybody can understand that and put it in proper perspective, then you'll be able to give proper interpretation to everything that happens in life. You'll be able to give proper interpretation to everything that happens in life. So the thing is that if you are not ready to submit, then you should not be married. The reason is because that is what is required to make the marriage system work. That is what is required to make your job work. That is what is required for you to actually function in the educational system and come out successfully. If you're not ready to submit to the school's rules and regulation, you have to be out of that system. That is what is required to make any other thing that you think of in this life work.
Mm-hmm.
So submission exists in all spheres of life. The moment we begin to understand that and put it in broad perspective, that I think is where the problem is.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of abuse, a lot of, oppression and suppression mm-hmm. going
visible
on
one, yes.
throughout all the ages, coming from both parties and all that. Exactly. So this thing has been happening for a long time. People have begun, like I said, when human beings go through experiences, they try to modify situations to fit them again. So part of the responses that people are now beginning to build towards this is the defense that they're now having against the, getting into the marriage. You can't enter into the marriage union without the intention to submit and expect that the marriage union is actually going to work. It is not going to work. Any marriage union that is entered into with that intent is actually built to crash. It's built to crash because it was not entered into based on the right premise. So since that is not the case, or since that is the case, then what's going to happen is that most of these marriages have been built for the rocks. I've told people and all that will care to listen that most of the young people we have in this generation, both the male and female alike, have a wrong perception, a wrong understanding about marriage. The guys don't understand their role as the head, as the one who is meant to actually
exactly
help.
They
don't understand their role, and the women also do not understand their role.
I agree as well.
They don't understand their role. So if the two parties do not have a proper understanding of what role they should be playing in a relationship or in a marriage, then what are we talking about? There is nothing to start with.
That's
why I said it's utopia and fantasy. because it's like there's nothing. They're just building castles in the air that's going to get, you know, that's going to crumble over time.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of my friends say they don't want to marry.
People say it every time.
Every time, I don't know why.
But at the end of the day, they will soon marry.
Then people say a lot of time.
Why? Because they will say, somebody will say, those girls that don't listen. They don't listen. You tell them something, they don't listen. Okay, how will you listen to somebody?
Well, even the men don't know how to love. Because, like, a lot of times, society has played it over and over and over, where we see cases of men, pastors, unbelievers, like, fall out of their marriages. So, like, people you even look up to,
I think,
in terms of, like, those standards, you realize that they are also struggling in those areas.
Yeah, then you just give up.
So how do we point it? Like, how do you tell someone, oh, this is something, this is a message you should listen to? When it seems like that particular thing, you know,
you cannot even
living up to standard.
Exactly.
Yeah, the thing here is that, like I would tell anyone, it takes two to tango, like they say. Sometimes it's not entirely dependent on maybe the mistakes coming from the two of them. Sometimes it could be one party in the marriage that has actually a wrong perception. You may have a wife who is willing to submit, and the husband may be somebody who doesn't really know how to love and then at the end of the day is going to force the marriage to a close. Now you may have a husband who is willing and ready to love. I know some women will say, there's no woman that will not submit to a husband who is willing to love him. It's not the case. Sometimes a woman can be looking for something that is not missing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? I've seen all these things happen. You know, I've counseled a lot of people over the years in regards to relationships and all that. So I've seen all kinds of scenarios play out. There are circumstances whereby the man is willing to even cut his head, but the woman is not just willing to stay for whatever reason. You understand? Yes. And all those reasons are not far-fetched from the kind of mindset that young people have in this day and time. Those mindsets have been destroyed. Many of them have seen all kinds of things. Many of them have heard all kinds of stories. So all those things is killing the desire for marriage, and then it's killing the desire for submission. It's killing the understanding. Even a lot of guys these days have a warped understanding of marriage. Many of them believe that, okay, marriage is now 50-50. A lot of guys believe that. A lot of guys will say, okay, I cannot marry a woman that is not this, I cannot marry a woman that is not that. But these things are not the standards.
Mm.
They are not the principles that governs the marriage institution. So they themselves are not even properly armed. They are not properly educated. They are not properly equipped for the marriage life. So they themselves are already set up for failure in marriage.
Then you must submit that kind of person.
So even the lady who is coming to submit doesn't even know better.
That's a complete disaster.
So the thing is so complicated, a whole web of complications that I believe God is using our ministry to actually correct in this, you know, day and time by teaching people the right things, the right perspectives, helping them to see things the way God wants them to see it, so that their relationships can go the way. Because one thing I believe is this, God is the originator of relationships. So I believe if we are going to understand relationships and do relationships better, then we should go back to the God himself who originated mm-hmm. it. So he has given us a template and I said, okay, this is the way it should run. So that's the way we should run it. If we choose not to run it that way, then it means that we don't want what God wants, or we don't want what God intends. And if that's the case, then I don't see any reason why we should be bothering ourselves about, what is happening and what is not happening. You know, everybody should just stay on their own.
Yes.
And the thing is that man was never designed to stay on his own.
Yes.
Nobody is designed to just be alone.
No.
We are designed to actually interact with ourselves, both male and female alike. So we can't actually live independent of each other. Even though some that say, okay, all man for himself, there's nothing like that. You need somebody in your life, somebody needs you. That's the way the world will remain till the world ends. You know, so we'll always need ourselves, we'll always need to do whatever it is that we need to do to actually get that going. No.
Okay, thank you for that answer. And there's another question. Love or submission? Which should come first in marriage?
Okay. You say love or submission, which should come first? It's simple. Love should come first because love is actually the foundation of everything.
Okay, before you go ahead. So does it... because, so love lies with the men or yes. should it lie with both parties?
With both parties.
Well, as a Christian, God tells everyone who is a child of God to love and to walk in love.
Yeah.
So when you're now speaking about love with... within the context of marriage, are you talking about love based on just erotic feelings and affection, or love based on the way God asks us to love? Because one thing people also get wrong is this, that portion in Ephesians 5 that tells us that men love your wife and husbands submit.
Yeah.
Now, the love that the Bible is talking about there is not the love of just affection. That's what people interpret it to. And that is a wrong interpretation. That's part of what's causing the problem.
That is the problem.
It's not the love of affection. It's the love. Look at what he said. He said, where is it now? That's Ephesians 5.
24?
Yes. So he says, let me read from verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now speaking to Christians in general. Now, it says, submitting yourselves to one another in the fear of God. Then verse 22 says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be in subjection to their own husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, the fact that husband love your wife came second does not mean that that's the order. When the apostle Paul was talking here, he wasn't putting things in an order of category of which should come first or not. Like when you asked that question, I said, love is the foundation of all things. Yes. So love comes first. So the question is like, what kind of love? He said, love, let the husband love their wife as Christ loved the church. So this is beyond affection.
Okay. Because so basically, Christ did not have an affectionate love for the church. So what sort of love?
What sort of love?
Now, this is it. I said this is beyond affection. I didn't say this is not affection.
Okay. This is like everything.
Affection comes as a response or as a byproduct of true love.
Okay.
Affection comes as a byproduct of love. But love itself is beyond affection because there are certain things, if all that I have for you is just affection, okay, affection means I'm close to you, I like you as a person, and all that I have for you is just affection. Let's say, for example, you now do something.
Mm-hmm. Or I have an accident and my leg breaks.
You do something. Maybe the leg doesn't even break. And maybe somebody comes and tells, maybe tomorrow, and not tell me that you have stolen $10 billion.
Hmm.
And then I should come and be your guarantor. The affection is going to die.
It's going to die. It's a run away.
If I don't love you in truth, genuinely, like I will never be able to walk down that road with you.
Sarah, can you walk down that road?
You know, knowing that $10 billion is something that I can never be able to actually lay my hands on at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that if I have to walk down that road, I'll go to jail with you.
Hmm. Oh, so that's the.
So are we going to go to jail together? You know. So that's why it says, as Christ loved the church.
No guy can.
Now look at what it's like. What it says next: as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Hmm.
So he sacrificed himself for the church. If it was, what was the love of Christ? Now, when Christ, before his death on the cross, was in the garden, he had the opportunity of actually deciding not to walk down that road. Because he agonized, because he knew the kind of death and the kind of pain and the kind of suffering he was going to go through. But he said, in spite of this thing, God, it is what you want that I I'm going to do. So that's the kind of love he's talking about. He loved the church and gave himself for the church, in spite of whatever the inconveniences, no benefits. In other words, you're not going to get any benefit from this thing. Will you still love the person?
Okay, so there's this something that just came up now. So if
now
in this world of nothing goes for nothing.
Goes for nothing. The Bible says that husbands should love their wives. Just like, what if the wife is not submitting? Will he still love?
Yes.
You see,
love is unconditional. You are meant to love. That's why I say love is beyond affection, it's beyond feelings. Love is unconditional. Even if the wife is not submitting, you are meant to love, because Bible says God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So even when the world was unlovable, God loved.
So
love loves even the unlovable.
So now I'm thinking it's the other way around. We saying that we are submitting now, it's not even the issue, it's the men.
It's the love.
There's one that even owns the major part of the...
Exactly.
There's one that, because we saying it now. Like, there's one that...
the ability?
Ability, the capacity.
That's why I said, in this generation...
Table stunned. I think it's the men that even...
So, that's why I said this generation...
So, who has been amplifying submission?
I don't know.
Now,
well,
that's why I said you have to be careful what you listen to, what people amplify
on social media.
Now, what I usually say is this: he who is to love has the greatest responsibility.
I see. So it's the men that even have it.
So women, that were just shouting. That's why I said women don't even have anything to clamor for.
Can you see?
You don't even have anything to, if you know your place. You don't even have anything to fight for or anything to even quarrel about, because the one who is asked to love is one who has the greatest responsibility.
Wow.
Because loving requires more sacrifice from him
than even submitting. I want you just to submit. They don't love. Whether submitting, you do something bad or not.
Doesn't mean, let me just follow
the leading.
Okay. Follow the leading. Love means you take full responsibility. And not just responsibility, you also bear the full consequence of whatever comes on that relationship.
When she's not respecting you, when she's not submitting to you, when she's not honoring you, when she's abusing you outside,
wow, you must love her.
So I have one question. Can a man do this?
In his mortal state. You have to specify which generation.
Human being. Has there ever been a man in the history of life that of has course. Loved other than Jesus Christ loving the church?
Well, the thing is, first of all, let me say this. If it is impossible, the apostle will not write it here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So if he writes it here, it means it's a possibility. And then he has given Christ as a yardstick for us. As a measuring yardstick for us to say, okay, this is this is what we're going to use to measure what is right and what is wrong. So if it says, as Christ loved the church and gave himself, so he even told us what Christ did. So it means that you must be ready to give yourself. Even there are some times when you might even be right, but you will decide to hold that position of being wrong because of love. You might be right, you know, but you still find a way to, just because you are dealing with somebody who is not, so you can't. I believe every young lady in this generation, you know, or let me say most, let me not say every, let me not overgeneralize, in this generation will have that problem with submission because of what they are listening to.
Exactly.
And because of what they've been exposed to and what they've been told, all the lies that have been told them and all that. Like I said, it's not only the ladies that are affected, the guys are also affected as well. The ones that have the major responsibility, they don't even know.
That's why.
So
they're even fighting with us. Like, why are we saying we cannot submit?
The only thing they feel is their responsibility is, let me work, make the money, and provide for the home.
Okay. I don't know why that part of the scripture doesn't seem to be so, like,
it's like it's,
that's because it's people are focusing on the wrong things.
Well, how? Why? Because I don't think.
You know that.
Because
growing up,
as ladies, we're always taught, like, you start hearing about submission.
Submission,
and
yes.
Endurance.
And then you hear something like, if your husband says you should do this, you do it.
Patience.
You have to be patient. Submission. And then in mind, I'm like, okay, if you say we should enter fire, oh, it was going to enter fire.
I never heard my father talking to my brother to like love.
Exactly. So like, why are people not preaching that side, that aspect of the love responsibility than the submission? So that way it will be balanced. He said the guys are dragging submission.
In fact, the love now is because it comes from the mindset of the fact that they feel that the men are actually doing what they are supposed to do. So they are taking it for granted. Exactly. That there's no need to stress that part. But that it's actually the women who are actually very stubborn when it comes to.
I agree.
Men. But that's the thing true. Is that if you look at it generally, most men actually don't have any problem being with a woman, you know, but most men, generally as a man, we want to be respected, you want to be honored and all yes. that. So if you're not getting that, instead of you to focus on your own responsibility, on the things that you were meant to actually do or amplify on your own end, you'll actually be looking at the other side. But as a rule of thumb for me as a person and the people that I mentor and speak with from time to time, I always let them know, don't always make the other person your object of focus. Always look at yourself first. Whenever anything happens, look at yourself. What have I done wrong? How have I handled the situation? What are the things I've done to actually make things right? Have I done all that is within my, you know, capacity to actually make things work? Find out, if you ask these questions first, you find out one or two things that you did wrong that may have actually escalated the issue on ground. So oftentimes, most issues will actually be resolved faster if we actually look inward.
Then outward.
So most people feel that, okay, the men are already doing what they are supposed to do. And sometimes men also have this tendency of interpreting love from the position of them taking care of their responsibility. They interpret love from that. That's why I said, what love are we talking about? If we're talking about the love that the Word of God tells us, that the Bible talks about, then it's not what most people are practicing.
So basically, you're saying to us that love, the actual love is not quality time. Languages.
You know? All those things quality are necessary. For example, like I said, all these things are product of love. If there is true love, if I truly and genuinely love someone, I would want to spend time with the person. God loves us. He calls us into a time of prayer with him. He calls us into intimacy with him because he loves us. He wants to spend time with us. So if you love someone, there's nothing in this world that will make you want to be away from that person's company. You will always want to be in that person's company because you genuinely, but come to think of it, which is that circumstances may not permit such under certain, you know, but all these things are spelled out in the Bible. There are times you may need to do things, like when Paul was also talking in Corinthians about prayer and fast, giving yourself to prayer and fasting, he says, okay, for you to avoid temptation, sexual temptation and all that, you know, discuss with one another and say, okay, I'm going to be going away for this amount, or I'm going to be having some time alone to pray and fast, after which I'm done. Bible says we should come back together again. So it doesn't tell you stay apart forever just because you are doing something spiritual.
Yes.
So when you're getting married or you've been in a relationship, you're getting into another world of, you know, another system entirely, which you need to understand very well and you need to know how to interact with. So it's just something that is, that to me, I see it as being pretty straightforward. As a man, you love. Love is the greatest responsibility. Submission is pretty simple. It has nothing complicated, not convoluted. Loving is even more complicated than submitting.
Okay.
Because loving is unconditional. All kinds of things happen. You still have to love. All kinds of things, you know. Yes, your wife sins. You have to forgive her. You have to find a way of making things work and everything. That's what love is.
It's like you don't believe in this love.
I certainly do, and I like to find a man that will love me.
So what I want to even say is the criteria now that you should be looking for in a man is a person that loves you.
Yeah.
And how you be able to find the person, the only person that can actually love you in that way, so it's a person that actually has a genuine love for God.
Wow. So that's the criteria. So ladies, if you're looking for, don't go
out. Ladies on the block.
ladies on the block.
Okay. So I was having this discussion with my friend.
Okay.
And we were talking about this same submission. She pointed out some scenarios that are very realistic. So she has this sister that's married to a man, of course. And she wanted to further her academic.
Okay.
Like, travel abroad.
Okay.
He had kids, of course. But he, like, something that in long run, or maybe in short run, would yield more results. But he said to her, I don't think you should do this. Like,
okay,
I need you to stay in Nigeria. Submit. But she'll probably be gone for like 2 years or maybe 12 months or something. But he said to her, I don't think you should do this. You should stay back. But the guy did not provide good reasons as to why she should stay back. So she went ahead to do it. In that case, would you say she wasn't being submissive?
She wasn't being submissive.
Okay, what would you say?
Now, the reason is because as the head of the home, you provide the direction for which the family goes to. Direction in which the family goes.
Why?
So, the problem is that a lot of men in this day and time lack direction.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Exactly. That's it.
Now, but hold on. The thing is that two wrongs don't make it right. All right? Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that somebody lacks direction doesn't mean that you should not submit.
Wow.
The fact that somebody is not. So the question is this: how am I going to love somebody who is unlovable?
Okay, how many times?
I'll ask the same question. Okay. So how am I going to love somebody who is unlovable? If you ask me that, how am I going to submit to somebody who doesn't have direction?
So I'll say, how am I going to love somebody who is unlovable? This man doesn't seem to have a direction. Why did you marry in the first place? Thank you very much. Because in the first place,
you are meant to ascertain direction, vision from the onset. You have to ascertain this thing. So you don't get into the marriage, is not something you enter into because, oh, I love her, I love him.
Oh, I'm bear.
Marriage is something you get into consciously, making a conscious decision. Okay, this person, we want to spend this rest of our life together. We want to forge ahead and make, you know, go in a certain direction. And it is not something you do out of a feeling. It's a conscious decision. So it means that during that time of conscious decisions, you people would have interacted to the point whereby there will be no surprises coming up. Nothing like, I want to travel abroad. My wife cannot just come and meet me and tell me that she wants to travel abroad. Exactly. What? We didn't discuss that.
That's true.
I think,
do you understand? Things come up. That's why there's a vision. The vision is the template that guides every other thing that comes up.
So basically, I'm getting married to this brother.
I also can't tell my wife. No, hold on. I also can't tell my wife right now that I want to relocate out of the country. Anywhere I go, she goes with me. Do you understand? I can't just wake up the same way she can't tell me that. I can't tell her that because we didn't discuss all those ones when we're planning.
In case what happens to unforeseen circumstances?
Beautiful. When unforeseen circumstances come, they still have to be subjected to the litmus test of the vision and
that
the template
they
that
is had before.
For example, there are also unforeseen circumstances that we can call the acts of. But let's for instance, we are maybe living in a country where maybe we're living in the States in America. And then there is a hurricane, and then the whole city gets destroyed. Automatically, we know we have to relocate. Those are unforeseen circumstances that are reasonable. Not unforeseen circumstances where you sit down and plan and say, okay, it's like if I go to Japan, I'm going to make more money there.
And then come back.
And be like,
baby,
I
just
want
to go
to Japan.
Now,
when
we discuss it at the initial stage of our relationship, we already agree that, okay, at some point, there will be, like, for example, I had things that I told my wife one way, because then I said, see, there's, for the early stage of ministry, you're going to have me very much available, you're going to see me a lot. I said, but as ministry progresses and as I get more busy, you will see me less and less.
So basically, she's aware.
I've already told her that more than 6 years ago.
Even before you got married?
Yes. We've already discussed all those ones.
So basically, what do people talk about? Before they get married.
We have what we call talking stage.
Yes.
So,
So I don't, you know? I don't, there's no, there's, for my wife now, there's nothing like surprises. Everything in my life, about my life, I've already told her.
So during your talking stage, you guys talked about
everything that can be talked about.
I don't think people discuss, they don't even do talking stage.
People, most of people, most people are actually living in a fantasy world.
I think they just envisage or assume
that
before they
going to be okay.
Yes, like, that's what happened.
Like I had a friend.
That's what happened.
I had a friend that, you know, his marriage got, you know, they got separated. Now what happened? Now this lady, she came into that marriage with a certain expectation. Now she wasn't in Lagos. You know, they had known before. They met online. They reconnected again. He needed to marry. I was like, I've known this lady before. She's a Christian and everything like that. Okay, let me just get to know her a little bit more and then get married. So after a little while, they got married. Now she moved into the house and all of a sudden, things were not moving according to her expectation. During that period, this brother had, you know, some little financial challenges. You know, there's certain things that she needed him to do, he couldn't do it. There were certain things she wanted to do, which they had discussed before the marriage. And he had told her, okay, this thing you will not be able to do, this thing you will not be able to do it. So those things now, because of the present circumstances on ground, she now began to request for the permission to carry out those things. Now, of which this brother, out of love, even though they had discussed this thing before and he had said, you cannot, you are not permitted to do this thing, he still allowed her. That's why I said love is, you know, the one who has love is actually is a greater responsibility. So out of love, after so much back and forth, battle, okay, we know that, okay, this thing I've said you should not do, we have already agreed, but now you are going back on it. You want to go and do it, okay, no problem, you can go, but I am not fully in support of it. But just go ahead and this is what you want to do. You are a human being, I can't force you. I'm meant to love you. So whatever you want to do, you are free to do it. I always tell my wife, if you say you want to do this, you are actually told to submit to me out of your own will.
Okay.
But if you say I want to do something, you say you don't want to do it, you are free. I say, but there are consequences. Everything has consequences.
It depends.
You know, it depends. That one is left to God.
Maybe he's scared.
That one is left to God. If you decide not to be submissive, it's left to God. God himself is the one that is instituted. He's the one that will find a way of punishing you by himself. You understand? So, I can't tell you that this is a particular kind of punishment.
When you're attached to it. I don't know.
Sometimes it may not even go the way we expect. It may go some other way entirely. Some people may have it smooth and some may have it rough. You know? So, the thing is that people need to have proper understanding and then make their decisions, discuss all these things so that there are no surprises. Nothing like I want to travel to this thing. So, and it's important that you know the mindset of the kind of person you're relating with right from time. At this point, my wife knows the kind of request she can bring to me. And she knows the kind of, because we have a template already. Okay. That she already agreed to. So there's, I mean, I'll do my best not to change my own. You too, you do your best not to change your own. So we leave it like that. And if anything comes and I say, okay, maybe all for certain circumstances, we know anything, if we are moving in one direction, we move together. Yeah. If we can't move together, we remain where we are. But there's nothing like one person will disappear. And one person will live in America, one person will live in Japan. It doesn't work that way.
Because you have a template.
There's a template.
You understand?
So there's nothing like unforeseen circumstances.
That's what this generation needs.
There's nothing like unforeseen circumstances. The only unforseen circumstance is that, okay, when you're talking about unforeseen circumstances, okay, oh, I married her. I have a friend also too. Just a few, they actually had their wedding ceremony. The wife was on crutches on their wedding, on the day of their wedding ceremony.
Hmm.
Up till today, you know, the accident she had on that leg is still there. She limps up till today. Well, you could have decided I don't want to marry her again because she had an accident.
That's love.
She was wearing a white gown with her crutch.
God.
Those are like extreme
cases. In a wedding in this Lagos here.
That's extreme.
So those are unforeseen circumstances.
Okay. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start from.
Your mindset.
Honestly, everything. I think I should start with this question.
I'm trying to be as realistic as possible because I know our listeners in their head right now they have 1,001 questions.
Yes.
So maybe we may just open it like for them to drop their questions and then we'll get back to you on it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have my question.
Okay.
How do I identify the thin line between submission and being domineering or domination?
Okay.
How do I notice that okay, it's not a case of submission now. You're now
oppressed.
Yes, oppression.
Like misuse of power.
Exactly. And how do I react in those cases?
Okay, I said, two wrongs don't make it right. Two wrongs don't make it right. It never, happens. The fact that I'm doing something wrong, you having a wrong response towards it will not actually help us produce the right results in the long run. So how do you identify or how do you draw the line, let me put it that way, between submission and oppression or suppression or trying to be domineering?
Yeah.
Now, everything is all based on the mindset of both individuals, because when we're talking about submission and being oppressive, it comes in two ways. The person who is oppressing the other has a funny mindset, a funny perspective, a funny view towards life. In the first place, why do you need to oppress someone that is already submitting to you? It doesn't make any sense. The only thing that makes people want to oppress is when they feel that their authority is being challenged.
I think people just have issues.
Let's not forget the fact that people don't have character.
That's why I said. Okay, I'll give you a little example. Sorry, I have a lot of examples here. I have this neighbor that, him and the wife, every time we always hear bah, 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 they're always fighting. And so one day I asked him, I said, you're a young guy and you don't need all this stuff. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. How can you be a young guy? You are already fighting, you and your wife, you are breaking bottles and doing all kinds of things. At the point in time when they had the last fight, I told them, I said, the next time you go fight, I will not come. You will just kill yourself there. I'll just go and report to the police station that two people have killed themselves in the house. And so he now asked me a question. It was like, you and your wife, do you guys ever have any issues at all? I said, of course there are issues, 1,001 issues. I said, but you can never hear my voice. We are two people, so there will always be issues, there will be things we will disagree on from time to time. I said, but I already understand the way I'm operating my life and my marriage. So I know what to say and I know what to do at every point in time. So that is going to actually help to put the situation under control. And then put my own anger also, if at all there is any, under control. So I say you don't have to be flaring up at every point in time, blah, 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 noise here, noise there, and then everybody, what is happening? Today is bottle, tomorrow is stick, all kinds of things. You beat up the wife will fight you back and everything. I was like, oh, come on, what's the meaning of all this? Now, that man, you know what he told me? He said, the place where it comes from, it is whatever a man tells a woman that the woman should do.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if he tells the wife, sit down there, if he tells the wife, don't do this and don't do that. So he already has this mindset that he has to be domineering in order to prove his authority
as a man
over the wife.
What if the wife comes from a place where she doesn't see those
types of things? The funny thing is this. The wife actually happens to be the firstborn. And at her place of work, she's a supervisor.
Okay.
So she controls.
So that's like the perfect example.
So she controls.
Of what we have been saying.
Exactly.
She has close to about several people, close to 100 people under her control.
Then she's not like this man.
And then otherwise, like she's the firstborn at home, she gets to control every other person.
Wow.
This is a conflict.
Now, this guy is, I don't know what number he is in his family, but he has this mindset that he's not even the baby of the year, he has younger ones. But he has this, I think somewhere in the middle, but he has this mindset that if you have a woman, you have to tell her what you want and she has to do it. And the fact that he has temper, he has anger issues, actually, that's actually what is even complicating the whole thing. So that actually is what is causing the issues for them. So it was like, I come from the place where if you tell a woman, stay here, the woman should stay. So that's the mindset he's coming with. And you're not coming to a woman who is this Generation X lady, and then she's a boss. She's a boss. She has people under her control. She's the first at home, you know, so probably running the home together with the parents. And you're not trying to tell her what and what to do or what not to do. So she herself had to learn how to submit. And he himself also had to learn how to put himself under control.
And that was something they didn't do before marriage.
That was what they didn't do before.
It's not bad. One of them, they're learning.
They're making efforts to learn.
Thank God they're learning. So I told them, I said, do you love this person? Do you really want to be with this person? Okay, no problem. When the wife kept on complaining, this guy is, you know, he's always sleeping around with other girls, blah, 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 blah. And she didn't like it. That was actually her main reason. And after that, I said, didn't you know this guy before you decided to be with him? She said she knows. I said, so why? What's your problem? Are you okay? You know he's a womanizer. You chose by yourself to marry
him. Love is blind.
I said, now you are now complaining because now that you guys are now, she felt that, okay, because we were still dating then.
Marriage don't change people.
That's she wasn't looking for a way to correct it then. She just felt that, okay, once they are married.
That's what I'm saying. They assume that everything will be okay.
So because everything is not now okay, they now started pounding each other.
Wow, what an interesting episode, I must confess.
Yeah, this has been a lot. I don't even know where to start from. But I think I have like 4 questions for the both of you. You either say agree or disagree. I hope that's fine.
Okay,
so the first one is, submission is not agreeing on everything. Submission isn't agreeing on everything. Okay, how about I say submission is agreeing to everything from the man? Do you agree with something? Everything.
Not agreeing.
How about you, sir?
What's the response? Agree or disagree?
Why do you disagree?
The thing is that submission
surprised.
And agreeing are 2 different things.
Okay.
Agreeing has to do with us rubbing minds and reasoning together and coming to a logical pedestal on which we stand and say, okay, this is how we're going to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Submitting means I take orders from you and I carry it out. So I can carry out something you want done without necessarily agreeing to it.
Okay.
I'm carrying it out because I just need to submit to you. Yeah. It's not every rule you are given in your school
that you agree to,
but you have to do it. If you have your way, you would want to be out maybe around 12 a.m. Like some students who school in some schools where they don't allow cell phones, tertiary institutions, they don't allow cell phones.
Private universities.
Do you think they like it? They don't agree to it.
But they have to submit.
But they have to just submit to it. They don't agree with that concept, that ideology. You understand? If they had some of them, for you to know that some of them even steal and use it.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They use those things. That means that they are not really in agreement with it. They are just doing it because they have to be there.
They have to submit authority.
Yeah. You understand? So submission and agreement are 2 different concepts. So it's not always
together. Yeah. That's my reason too.
Okay. So would you say submission is leaving your brain at the altar and following your husband?
It's not leaving your brain, no.
It's submission. Agree? Do you agree with this?
I can't agree to this.
How about you?
This question. Do you agree?
No, I'm the one asking the question.
I'm asking you back.
I don't agree.
So why are you asking? Of course not. Please, change
it to next question. Your brain is needed in the marriage.
If you leave your brain, what do you want to use to operate?
Okay, so even when you are giving, even when you are giving instructions before.
Hey, okay, which brain? Okay, which brain we use after?
Okay, moving on. Submission is putting the will of your husband before the will of God. Do you agree?
Very tricky. But I don't agree. The will of God comes first.
Now. Whose will should come first? That's what they're asking in terms of submission. Should the will of God come first before your husband's will, or the husband's will should come first before the will of God?
The will of God. You. After I answer my own, I'll not ask you. Will of God.
What do you think about this, sir?
Well, whose will should come first? The will of God is that you submit to your husband.
Sharp response.
I like that. You, what's your answer? Don't copy. I wanted to ask. I wanted to ask before you asked him, because I knew.
The will of God is that you submit to your husband. So,
the
will of God, submission is the will of God. So if you are submitting to your husband, you are not actually disobeying God. You are actually still fulfilling the will
of God.
Okay. So that means the will of God comes first. Your husband's will. Okay. So the last question on this list is submission means you do not have to try to influence your husband. Okay, I'm going to explain this. Your husband drinks or he smokes, and you as a believer or whatever, or maybe you just don't like it, and you try to correct him or change his mind, or like other areas, you shall want to influence his decision or his habit to something different. Is that still you submitting?
I don't think that's submitting. It's not. How are you submitting?
Or you just accept it?
Well, that one is within the confines or within the dimensions of what someone likes and what someone doesn't like. For example, like I usually tell people when I counsel them, there are certain things that are not things that you should be holding on to tenaciously and all that. Mm-hmm. Like if somebody has a destructive habit, why do you even, you must have known before marrying the person. So let's even say hypothetically, maybe the person will develop that habit. Yes, because that's happened. That's happened like that. So, but the question is, what made the person that way? That's what you should be finding out.
Instead of trying to influence.
You don't need to try to tell the person to stop drinking. If you can change the reason why the person started drinking in the first place, then you won't even have any reason to be trying to influence what shouldn't be influenced.
Okay. Yeah. Very interesting episode. Yeah. One that everyone must listen to.
This is a lot to take in.
Even me, I enjoyed the episode. My perspective has changed. Majorly because now I will appreciate men more because they have like greater responsibility in loving the ladies than with submitting.
I think I'm going to amplify the love aspect.
Yes, the love aspect forward. Than the submission aspect. So
let us know what you think about the submission.
We'd love that you guys should talk. Comment,
send us emails, messages. We'd like to hear what you think about it.
And don't forget to follow
and subscribe. Do you have any last word for us, sir, before?
I think much has been said already.
Yes, a lot.
So just try to digest all that has been said.
Digest.
I believe it's really going to help a lot, and it's been really great being here.
Yes, we enjoyed the company. We enjoyed every bit of the discussion.
Thank you very much.
All right then. Meet you guys next week.
What are you doing? Are you doing TV?
Whatever. But yeah,
we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.